Thank you for tuning in to the WEEM Weekly Podcast, a bi-weekly podcast produced by 91.7 WEEM to share with you all about what is going on around our school and community. You can find present and future episodes of this podcast at 917weem.org or wherever podcasts can be found. You are listening to WEEM Weekly. My name is Dylan Brown, and today I am joined by Amanda Safford, who is the coach of our swim team. Thank you so much for being here with me today.
Thanks for having me.
All right, we'll get right into my first question. Pretty simple one. How long have you been the swim coach at PHHS?
Oh, I started as an assistant swim coach here, and that was about 3 years ago. So when my daughter entered school here as a freshman and started as an assistant coach a couple years. And last year, actually, was interim head coach. And this year, I'm now the official head coach of the girls swimming and also the boys.
Yeah. Well, what difference is it, like, how different is it being the official, like, head swim coach instead of, say, the assistant or the intern?
Sure. Well, a lot of other responsibilities that you have as far as making sure you get your workouts, you know, planning your workouts, a lot of that, that you things that you need to do behind the scenes, working with the meets and coordinating a lot of things with the other coaches at the other schools. You know, definitely just being able to make sure you have your plan for the whole year and what it's going to look like for your training, and making sure that you're, you know, successful by the time of your championship meets roll around, that you're heading in the right direction.
Now that leads me into some of my next questions. What kind of stuff do you do? Like, how often do you practice to prepare?
Oh, we practice, I like to say, kind of around the clock. The kids as swimmers, a lot of these swimmers have grown up swimming. There are some that we have had that have never had a background with swimming. And I say swimming and diving. It's also diving. We typically go during the course of the week. We'll have practice after school. We do two-a-days as well a couple times during the week. Right now we're in our taper mode, which what that means essentially is that we're getting ready for our championship meet for our boys. We just recently had our girls sectional. The boys sectional is coming up next week.
Now, how did the girls sectional go? How do you view their performance?
They did incredible. I was really pleased with their performance. We scored third place overall out of 11 teams. You know, coming in third to your Fishers and your HSE, which are always top competitors.
Yeah.
I like to say that we're the top sectional in the state of Indiana. All of us like to say in that sectional, it's a very hard sectional.
Yeah.
There's 20 sectionals throughout the state of Indiana. And so we had a good showing. The girls had significant time drops. I think all of them dropped time. And it was just a good overall, just a good energy that they brought for prelims, and then, you know, going into finals as well. We had several make it into the finals, which you have to be top 16.
Impressive.
Thanks.
Kind of moving into the same place, but for the boys sectionals, who do you think are the teams to beat for the boys? Is it still Fishers and HSE?
Definitely, they're there at the top. Those would be the first, I would say, the first two. You have some, the boys are very strong this year that we have, but you also have some really good competitors still that we cannot forget about. Mount Vernon has some good swimmers. We have Yorktown as well. So I would say Mount Vernon, Yorktown. Of course, you mentioned Fishers and HSE. We do have you know, some other smaller schools that are joining in this year as well. But you certainly want to not be taken off guard. I'm sure that they will be bringing some good talent also. So it's a really good fun time, and definitely competitive.
Yeah.
Good amount of competition there.
Well, how do you think or expect the boys team to perform at sectionals?
I expect that they'll do very well. They're in taper. Well, they're in a beginning phase of taper. They actually go kind of in the second phase or the final phase of taper here midweek as our championship meet starts prelims next week on Thursday. And so far they've been looking great. Their times have significantly been dropping throughout the season. They're at a good place. I kind of compare where we were last year to this year. I look at all those things as far as numbers, and it does look encouraging. So I expect that they will do well in the pool and also, you know, whether it be swimming and diving, both.
Now, you talk about swimming and diving. Mm-hmm. Do you have like swimmers that also dive, or is it two separate?
Yeah, I do. For our girls, typically, we've had, you know, a couple here and there over the years who have done both. Boys right now coming up with a sectional championship. We do have one in particular out of the three boy divers mm-hmm. that we have that will also swim. They are limited with their events on how many they can do, of course, because the diving will count as one event. But we get that ever so often. We have on our team, some of them would like to have, both of those. So
now, how many events are they allowed to be in?
They're allowed to have two individual events that they can swim in, and then two relays, or during the season, they're allowed to have three total relays in one individual event. Mm-hmm. When we talked about diving just a second ago, diving would count as an individual event. Yeah. So really, truly, we often use, with our swimmers and divers, we try to utilize them where we can. A lot of the times they have a full plate when they go into any meet. And there are times that we may rest some individuals a little bit more if there's something else coming up. But it's, truly, they always generally have a full schedule, full plate.
Yeah. Now, kind of going into your coaching style a little bit, what do you think is the biggest key to success for the swim teams?
I think the biggest key is working as a team. The energy that you bring the kids, I think, work really well together that we've had over the years here. We're one big family. We always say it takes everyone. It doesn't matter, what your time is. If you're at the top of your times compared to others, each person is a contributor. And that's what I always like to make sure that they all know about. Every time we start the season, that everybody builds this team. So as long as, we tend to have fun as a group, they're, getting along as a group, and they do, that's always usually going to have that energy that's going to make for a successful mm-hmm. meet. If they're training hard in the water and they bring that energy and we'd like to have fun, then they're going to produce. And we've been very lucky over these years, and we have a great group overall.
Yeah. It also helps that I feel like almost all of the swimmers are friends with each other too.
They are. They've grown. A lot of these individuals have grown up since they were way little. Some of them started when they were, 6, 7 years old, and club. Yeah. And often have just stuck with it over the years. There are some that came in again who hadn't had a background in swimming or diving, but they started up and they've obviously kind of came together and joined friendships. So it's an incredible team. I really am thankful for that.
All right. Well, what has been your favorite part of being the swim team coach so far?
Favorite part is just, I think watching these kids grow up over the years. Several, as I've had opportunity before high school, I coached club. And so I have had the opportunity to watch a lot of these kids when they first started swimming. Mm-hmm. So it's just very meaningful to me. Just, watching their progress over the years. Yeah. I also did the same thing. I started when I was very young and grew through the club here. So a lot of these programs are familiar with to me. So they are near and dear to my heart. Yeah. And I love watching the success of them once they get out of the water, get that incredible time that they were hoping for. That's mm-hmm. that in itself makes it all worth it.
Yeah. What would you consider the hardest part of being the coach?
Hardest part is, when you actually, have, you have a long season. Sometimes that can be a difficult thing, I think, for maybe any coach when you're starting out your season, you are planning ahead. By the time you're at the end of the season, you're excited, you have the adrenaline pumping because you're at your championship time, but it can be a long schedule. Yeah. So you just have to be, mentally prepared for that. Mm-hmm. I think maybe seeing some of my athletes, maybe just fall short from maybe a goal time that they had. Generally, they're too hard on themselves. And so often I have to bring them back and say, listen, this is where we are in the course of the season. You are completely okay. You may not have had your best time here, but you can't have your best time each and every meet. And so I just try to bring them back. But sometimes just kind of seeing if they're a little bit disappointed. I don't like my athletes to be disappointed in themselves because I see so much potential. Yeah. So maybe that's the one thing that, it's not always the best or the most fun, I guess.
All right. Well, that kind of leads me into my next question. How do you keep the team morale high when you do suffer those defeats?
Absolutely. You know, we've had some lessons to learn over the years. We had for a while, I can speak to our girls team, we had a good streak going where we were undefeated. And we had a competitor that came up, Greenfield. Yeah. Greenfield has significantly over the years, I give them praise because they have really worked hard, built a solid team. They got us. Last year it was the first time it happened in mm-hmm. quite a while where they got us. They pulled ahead just a little bit, beat us in the dual meet that we had. So that was kind of an eye opener for my girls, where they were disappointed, kind of really got to them. But after brought them back around saying, listen, this is bound to happen and we just need to be proud for them and we need to lift our heads up high and know that, the next meet, we try to go get them. Mm-hmm. And so you can only do, you try your best and do, what you can, but you also have to applaud those that are also excelling around you.
Yeah. I really like that about applauding the other teams.
Mm-hmm, sure.
Work acknowledges work.
Absolutely.
All right. And I just have a couple more questions. Okay. You mentioned how you became swim coach or became involved with the swim team when mm-hmm. your daughter got into high school and started swimming. Do you plan on continuing being swim coach once she's graduated?
Yeah, that's a great question. Not sure exactly where everything will, lead down the road. Mm-hmm. I mean, right now at this point, I'm enjoying what I'm doing. And so I would like to keep going.
Yeah.
So we'll just see how things roll as they come. But definitely, a lot of these kids, beyond where my daughter graduates, there's several that I've seen again, just throughout the years growing, into their role and just, coming up through the swim program that is really encouraging to see. So I have high hopes for all of those individuals too. And I hope that in some form or fashion I can be, involved, whatever that happens to be, whether it be, again, continuing on beyond perhaps or otherwise.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that's all the questions I have for you today. Yeah. Is there anything else you'd like to talk about?
No, I don't think so. Just we'll be so excited for their boys to, hit the water here next week. And that'll be Thursday for prelims and Saturday also for the finals.
Well, we wish them good luck. And thank you again for being on here with me today.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to the WEEM Weekly Podcast. Join us next time at 917weem.org or wherever podcasts can be found.